You're walking along the pier and you're minding your own business, enjoying your day out. It's a sunny day, must have been last year, not this year, when you hear a commotion and people shouting and screaming. They're shouting, "Help! Someone help!" You run up to find a crowd of people all looking down to the sea, and they're getting very upset. They're pointing down, and you realise there's a man in the sea. "Help him, please! He can't swim." He's there flailing his arms in the sea. You look at the people all around you. They're either frozen into inaction, or they're fearful themselves that they won't be able to cope, and they will get into difficulties too. That won't help him. Before you know it, you've got up onto the railings and you've jumped in. You're quite close to the man and you try to calm him down. You can't to start with, but eventually you grab hold of him and he starts to relax under your control, and you're able to swim back with him safely to the shore. Of course, by the time you get to the shore, the ambulance crew are all there ready to take over, and the crowd starts surrounding you. They start clapping you on the back and shaking your hand and saying, "Well done." In reply, you say, "Oh, it was nothing." But then, as a Christian, you say, "Give God the praise and glory for rescuing this man. God gave me the strength to help this man and rescue him." You think nothing more of this until the morning after, and there's a knock on your door. It's the police. It's a policeman standing at the door. "Would you mind accompanying us to the station?" he says. "There's been a complaint about you. They don't like the way you brought God into the events yesterday. You're under arrest." Seems a bit harsh. Would it happen in this country? I guess in the future it may well do. Around the world you'll hear and read of this kind of thing happening all the time. Those of you who take Evangelicals Now this month, you'll have read, you may well read in the future. It's a whole page of things that are going on around the world. The headlines: Bangladesh attacked, Belarus camp opposed, Egypt convert beaten, India pastor beaten, India extremists attack, Mexico church demolished, Colombia pastors killed. These things happen all around the world because these people are willing to stand up and speak about God. They are willing to face torture, being beaten, even being killed, because they dare to say that Jesus is the risen Son of God, and he alone is able to take away the sins of the world. This is the situation Peter and John find themselves in. They've just rescued a man from 40 years of being crippled. Now he can walk and begin a new life of work, because of course if you're crippled you can't move around, you can't work. Now he can work, he can begin a new life, he's a changed man. They've explained to the people how they were able to deliver this healing through the risen Son of God, Jesus. Because of this, they've ended up in jail. The next day they're brought before the court, a court made up of the same groupings that were responsible for arranging and carrying out Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. The same groupings. These people were wealthy and stood to gain financially from cooperating with the Romans. So, Peter and John know it doesn't look good for them. As Jesus stood before the court, now his followers do likewise. In their eyes, in the court's eyes, just as troublesome. The activities were the same. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and he performed great miracles to support this claim. Peter and John were healing people by the power of God, and also proclaimed the message that Jesus was the Son of God. Same activities, same claims, same court. Was there the same outcome? We'll come on to that later. But firstly, let's consider why Peter and John were willing to put themselves in this position. Why do Christians, as we've just read, put all over the world, put themselves in danger willingly, voluntarily? It would be easy to live a quiet life, go along in their own ways, make no demands on anyone else, keep the whole thing quiet, hide it. They don't. They make their faith public. They talk to whoever they can about what they believe. Peter says here in verse 20, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot help speaking about it. If you have a child, you can't help speaking about it. You don't just go home and tell no one about it and just speak about it if it's dragged out of you. If you watch Brighton win an excellent game of football, it's such a rarity nowadays, you go and tell somebody about it. This morning we were talking about some men who dismantled a roof so that they could lower their friend in to be with Jesus and be healed. If you saw something like that, you'd go away and you'd tell somebody about it. Peter and John spent 3 years with Jesus. They left their home, their work, and families to follow him. Daily they saw how he dealt with people, how he had compassion on them, how he healed them. They heard him talk about his Father God. They heard him talk about the kingdom of heaven. They heard him say that he was the one who alone could bring forgiveness for their sins. They saw Jesus minister to thousands of people. They were there. They were there when Jesus was arrested, when he was crucified on the cross at Calvary. Their world and hope seemed to come to an end, but it wasn't the end, because he rose again from the dead and appeared to them. He spoke to them. He ate with them. They saw the victory he gained over death. If you had seen these things firsthand, if you had heard them, would you have sat at home, going about your daily business, as if nothing had happened, eating your fish and chips, watching EastEnders? I guess not. So firstly, Peter and John, they couldn't help speaking about these things because they had seen it with their own eyes. They had experienced it. They'd heard it with their own ears. Something so miraculous, so wonderful, they couldn't help speaking about it. Secondly, they couldn't help speaking because salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved, we read in verse 12 here. Peter couldn't help speaking about Jesus because he is the only way of salvation. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other way to a relationship with God. As I was saying this morning to the children, we recently came back from a holiday in Worcestershire, and one day we went out and we were looking for some rock houses, and they were little houses that had been built into the side of rock, but they were in an area which was a wooded area, hilly area, and it's quite inaccessible. So we drove the car along the A roads, the major roads, to get to the area, and then we got onto the B roads, which are slightly smaller, to get us further into the area. But then we had to go onto the country lanes to get right into the area, to get right up to these little cottages. And that's where our troubles began, because there were no signposts. And you would get to the end of one country lane, you'd come to a T-junction or a junction, and you wouldn't know which way to go. There was no signs at all. We didn't know which way we were heading. If we didn't find the one road that went to where we wanted to get to, we could end up in someone's farmyard, or we could end up facing a dirty great big tractor coming the other way. There was only one road that went the right way. We had to find it. Follow the rest, and you could be going around for hours and hours and still not get there. Salvation is found in no one else. There is only one way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no compromise here in what Jesus says, or in what Peter's saying. There is no other way, black and white. You either accept the truth, or you don't. But there is no other truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. If you were a smoker and the label on the packet says smoking kills, you can either accept the fact and act accordingly, stop smoking, or you can choose not to accept it. But that doesn't alter the fact, that doesn't alter the truth that smoking kills. If the advert on telly says drinking and driving kills, you can choose to accept the fact and statistics or not. The fact still remains, drinking and driving kills. If you see the sign on the motorway, danger, fog, you can choose to accept the warning and slow down, or not to accept it and speed into the fog. It doesn't alter the fact that there is fog there. The truth is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you accept it, or if you don't, doesn't alter the fact, doesn't alter the truth. The truth stands. If you read the Gospels, or at least one of them, you'll see that Jesus makes huge claims about himself. He claims to be the way to heaven. He claims to be the bread of life, everlasting life. He claims to be the light of the world. He claims to be Son of God. As you see him perform miracles, however, these claims are supported. No other religious leader has claimed to be God's Son. No other religious leader could die for our sins. No other religious leader could rise from the dead. There's no compromise here. You see, you can't just say that Jesus was just a good teacher. He has good teachings, yes. But to claim he was God would surely make him a deluded teacher. You can't say he was just a prophet. Isaiah never claimed to be God. Elijah never claimed to be God. Jeremiah never claimed to be God. You have to accept the whole package. You have to accept the truth. You can't only accept the parts you like the sound of. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Peter says, salvation is found in no one else. Peter and John can't help speaking about what they've seen and heard. They're willing to be put into prison. They're willing to be beaten and tortured, willing even to die for their faith in Jesus, the Son of God. John finished his days on earth after being put into exile, but Peter was martyred. He was killed for his belief that Jesus is the one and only who can bring forgiveness for all we've done. They were willing to go through this for the message they brought. Why? Because it was and is the truth. They were there. They saw it. They heard it. They experienced it. No one could take that away from them. That's why people in India and Africa and China and everywhere else are willing to suffer, because it is the truth. They have found that salvation is found in no one other than Jesus. Well, what about the court that Peter and John were facing? If we look in verses 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing that they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in his name. These people were astonished at Peter and John. There was something about these men. They were only ordinary men, just like you and me. Yet they had such courage. They noted that they'd been with Jesus. That had made them different. This has made the difference. They couldn't deny that Peter and John had performed a wonderful miracle in healing the crippled man. They couldn't deny that it had happened. Everyone in Jerusalem knew it had happened and were praising God for it. The court had to let them go with a warning not to talk about Jesus. But Peter and John can't help speaking about Jesus. He's changed their lives. He's given them courage. They perform miracles in his power. They bring praise to God through their lives. What about you? Has Jesus changed your life? Has it made a difference that you've met Jesus? Do you know his truth? Do you know his power at work in your life? Do people around you praise God for what you've become through God's grace? Where do you stand? If you're a Christian, are you willing to face the risks of standing firm and witnessing for Jesus? If you needed to, would you stand and talk about Jesus, your Lord and Saviour, even with the very real risk of persecution, imprisonment, even sacrifice of your life? Would you do that for the truth? Our brothers and sisters abroad do so every single day of their lives. Does it mean that much to you? Every year we go on holiday and we come back and say, what a wonderful place. Doesn't matter where we go, we always say, what a wonderful place. I don't know why people crave about going abroad, because there's so much beauty to see in our own country. I recommend every place that I've been to. But Jesus says, I am the way back to God, the way to forgiveness, the way to salvation, the way to heaven. Peter recommends this way. He can't stop speaking about it. Those who have seen something of the truth of Jesus will also recommend that way. There's no place I'd rather be than in heaven with Jesus, because that's where God is. That's where love is, because God is love. That's where true beauty is, because that's where the God of creation is. Don't you want to find the way there? There is only one way, Jesus. Accepting his forgiveness makes it possible for us to get back into a relationship with God. Have you accepted this truth? Are you rejoicing in this truth? Are you telling others about it? Are you like Peter and John, and able to stop speaking out about Jesus, your Lord and Saviour? What a challenge. What an inspiration. May this speak to our hearts, and may this challenge us to be like Peter and John, unable to stop speaking about our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage that we've read this evening, and for the example of Peter and John. We thank you that you were so evidently at work in their lives that people praised God for the work that you did through them. We thank you that we have this record, that we can read how wonderful it was, what wonderful things you did through your people. And we thank you that you are the same God today. You give us the same Spirit. You enable us to be the same kind of people as Peter and John. We thank you that you've given us the same Spirit, you've given us the same forgiveness, you've showered your same love upon us as you did on Peter and John. Father, help us to be thrilled by this. Help us day by day to know your truth, rooted even more firmly in our hearts. And we do pray, Father, that you'd give us a spirit which will help us to speak to all around us. May we too experience this, that we cannot help speaking about what we know about you. Father, bless us each one as we go out into this world. May we speak for you. May people see that we are your people, and may they too want to know you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.